Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We're waiting for Phil Holloway to jump on the line with us here. He's been following this Carmelo Anthony situation down in Texas. And I'm actually really, really surprised here. And Phil's going to have to be the one that's filling me in here, because they've gone right from the guilty verdict. They came in, just a little bit more, maybe not even an hour ago, into the sentencing hearing. Phil Holloway is with us this afternoon. He's the host of the Megyn Kelly True Crime Show. I know he's been on with Megyn here for a while. How are you this afternoon, Phil? A lot of stuff going on at the same time here, right?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. Always happy to talk to you. This one, the verdict is no surprise. The 3-hour verdict, the only thing surprising about that is that it was 3 instead of 2. As far as the length of time, I thought it might be a little quicker, but I'm not surprised. Now, here's what's going on. See, the defense made an election to have the jury decide the sentence, which is, it's kind of the way it's done in Texas.
Right.
So the judge doesn't want the jury to have to, keep coming back over and over. So he's decided to just go move right on into it. Well, what was surprising to me, and apparently we just learned this, that there was only one witness called by the defense in mitigation, and that was Carmelo Anthony's mother, to basically ask the jury for some mercy, and it was short. And now the judge is working on the instructions, and we'll send the jury for deliberations on punishment here shortly, if they haven't already started. So that's why they're moving directly into the sentencing phase. He's facing 5 to 99 years or life. He's not eligible for the death penalty because of his age, but if he gets life, he is eligible for parole.
What would your anticipation be on a sentence like this? Or is that just too hard to tell right now?
Well, that's the thing. You can see the jury being, united and coming to a pretty quick conclusion on murder. But when you have moms and dads and you have people who might have sympathies for teenagers. I had a trial one time when I was a prosecutor. I prosecuted a 17-year-old for an armed robbery, and he had confessed, and the jury kept wanting to hear it over and over and over in the jury room as far as the confession tape. And I had a mother just run out of the jury room just fall on her knees and start sobbing in the hallway, talking about how she couldn't send a young teenager to prison.
Yeah.
And so we do have sympathies that find their ways into the jury room. And that's why the defense asked for jury sentencing versus judicial sentencing. If it were the judge, I know it would be a life sentence immediately. But otherwise, I think it may take a little while. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Oh, we both have. We both have. Right.
but I think the jury may have to give this one a little more thought. I think it's fair to say he's going to spend a long time in prison, and it might be the rest of his life.
It is just a tragedy all along, and it's not impossible to have a little empathy for the entire situation. There's no doubt in my mind that he was guilty and he should be punished. But here you have a 17-year-old kid who's now 19, threw his life away, and was apparently a pretty good student. This whole story that they concocted for self-defense was just nonsense. I don't know what it was in his head. I don't know if there was mental illness that was, talked about during this trial, because they really rested quickly, the defense. They hardly did anything yesterday. So I it's a complicated case. It really is.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I think I now know why he didn't testify, why the defendant did not testify. Normally, if you're going to pursue self-defense as a affirmative defense to a criminal charge, it's kind of important for the defendant to tell the jury, yeah, I was afraid of, I was in fear of my life, and I felt like I had no choice. But if you kind of hedge your bets and you believe the jury's not going to buy that, you do the best you can with other witnesses, but don't put the defendant up to say that if you foresee that same jury having to determine sentence.
Yeah.
Because if he takes the stand and the jury believes he's not being truthful, or you think he's going to have other problems with being impeached during cross-examination, if he's not going to look good on the stand, then maybe as a matter of trial strategy, you keep him off the stand so that you don't have the jury potentially hating him by the time they have to determine
yeah,
sentence.
From a strategy perspective, that makes sense. Why is there a gag order in this case? Or you think that's only going to be in effect here because the sentencing hasn't been completed? It seems weird because it's also a very, it puts a lot of people under that umbrella, family members, et cetera.
Yeah, I hate gag orders. We can talk for days about these things. I think it's a prior restraint on people's constitutional rights to free speech, and I think that these judges just get too crazy with them, and I think that the Supreme Court at some point is just going to have to say enough. But that being said, the judge, to the extent that he does have a gag order, he wants it to go all the way through the completion of the case, and that would include sentencing. I'm hoping that once all is said and done, we're going to be able to see some of the evidence that was admitted into court, and I don't know if there exist recordings of these witnesses than their testimony, but at some point the public needs to see more about what happened in that courtroom. I'm really, really been out of shape that this was not streamed, because if ever there needed to be a case that was live stream so the public could see what's going on in that courtroom, this was it.
Yeah, for transparency purposes. Now, one of the things I heard that was not, there were people of color, but there was not one black member on the jury. Is there room for any kind of appeal because of that?
No.
Okay.
No, but there you have a right to a representative cross-sample of the community in your jury pool, but what you do not have a right to is to have jurors on your jury who have told the lawyers during the jury selection, the voir dire process, that they have reservations about convicting a brother or a black man.
Right, right, right.
So you don't have a right to have people on your jury who, just because they're black, okay, even if they have an expressed bias to that degree, they are subject to being struck for cause because they can't follow the judge's instructions. Because guess what? The judge's instructions are leave your biases at the door. And so if they tell you right out of the gate that they have that bias, you don't have a right to have them on your jury. So there is no right to have a jury that looks like you. Now, this was not an all-white jury.
No, I know.
Well, some have reported that it was, and it's not. But it's just that it's only like 1%, maybe 2% blacks in the community. So it's not surprising that you didn't have one that made it onto the jury.
And this is, it's frustrating from, and you knew from the very beginning. Look, I talked about this. You and I probably talked about it from the very beginning of when this stabbing took place. You knew there were going to be racial components because of the suspect and the victim. But look, there were black teammates of this poor kid who was stabbed in the heart that testified in tearful testimony about their teammates. So race became a factor, I think, outside of the courtroom. But this is a case of whether or not this was, someone who is guilty of the crime of murder, and the jury has decided, yes, he is. And now we're going to find out what the punishment is. But Phil, I appreciate your help this afternoon. Obviously, all this just breaking in the last 90 minutes or so.
All right. Happy to help you anytime.
All right. Take care. That's Phil Holloway. He's the host of the Megyn Kelly True Crime Show. He's been with us for a long time and is always great. Former district attorney, former cop as well down in Georgia. So here we wait. I don't know if this is something that, the recommendation comes down today. Fred, have you heard any kind of timetable? Because this is, I've covered trials for a long time. I don't really remember where a guilty verdict has gone right into a sentencing hearing with a jury.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So we don't know, but he's keeping everyone there, so it could be
today.
Yeah,
a lot of times, in death penalty cases, you definitely have it pretty much go very quickly to the jury as well. So maybe there's just a similarity because it's the punishment and the defense wanted that. But I have a hard time believing we'll have a sentence by the end of today. right?
We've said that before.
I know, and then we're wrong about it, right? Yes. We'll see what happens.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.